When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Congratulations to the Michigan Wolverines.
Let's go!
Let's go! Now, hold on a second.
Big time.
I have an announcement. We have two Michigan fans on this show.
Yes.
One by marriage.
Yes,
in correct. Chris Canty. And the other one by education and by where he's from, in Javonte Lawrence. He's from Michigan and he went to Michigan.
So he's an alum.
He's an alum, but hold on.
By education.
By marriage.
One by education.
Well, it worked with the...
it's called being an alum.
I'm a fan by way of education.
Well, when I said by way of marriage, I had to say by way of something else is what I'm going with. But here's the thing.
Yeah, we see what you're trying to do.
We got it.
Well, I mean, it failed, but...
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. One would think... You're a sports talk radio producer on a national platform like ESPN Radio,
yes.
ESPN2. We are so fortunate to be here every day, right?
Yeah.
We earned our fortunate enough to be here, but we're fortunate enough to be here.
Yeah.
Javonte fell asleep.
No.
Whoa, Javonte, come on, bro.
Javonte.
Come on,
bro.
Say it ain't so.
What happened is it was halftime. I'm like, you know what? I'll probably be up late, so I'll take about maybe a 10-minute nap, and then that turned into a waking up. It was like maybe 10 minutes in the third quarter. I'm like, oh, that was nice. But according to Pat, nothing happened in third quarter, so apparently they held up the game while I was asleep. So.
Oh, no, something happened.
It all worked out.
It was all good for Michigan. It was bad things happening for Michael Penix Jr. in Washington.
But you something can't happened. Fall asleep, though. If you're a fan of the team,
hold on.
You got to put yourself in a position. You can't go in the bed or anything.
No, I'm with you on that one, man, because after the second interception by Penix in the red zone where Sanistrell runs it down inside the five, it's 11 o'clock at night. The game is over. They got a two-touchdown lead, and they're going in to score another one. I'm like, let's cut the TV off, babe. She's like, you can go to bed and cut the TV off. I'm going to go out in the living room and finish watching the game and watch the confetti fall.
Yeah.
I said, are you serious? She's like, absolutely.
Yes,
you know how long I've been waiting for this?
Right.
Yes.
Like, I mean, so it was a moment for her. And it was pretty cool to see her be really excited about it. She's not the biggest sports fan, but she got fired up about this. The group chat is popping all night long. They're going back and forth. They're holding their breath when Odunze is wide open. Unfortunately, Penix couldn't hit any of those throws, but it didn't necessarily feel like Michigan was threatened at any point in that game last night.
No, and I thought it was kind of anticlimactic. When Washington came within, I believe it was a touchdown before halftime, I thought, okay, they're starting to find their life again, because that offense looked very uncharacteristic from what we've seen out of Washington and Michael Penix Jr. for the entire season. And I thought, okay, this is when they're going to kind of course correct, and they're going to come back in the second half with a vengeance. This is going to be a battle in the second half. And it was anything but that.
Yeah, let's walk through this game for people like Javonte who were asleep last night. So Michigan's up 17-10 at the half, but reminder, they're up 17-3 because they had dominant runs early on in this game. Donovan Edwards with two runs, 40-plus yards each for touchdowns early on, and you're thinking at that moment, 17-3, it's over. It's another blowout.
Yes.
Because, by the way, and this game finished 34-13 Michigan, if you look at the last 10 national championship games since the playoff has started, the average margin of victory for a title game is 20.1 points per game. Now, let's take out last year because of the blowout that Georgia TCU, 15.8 points per game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every one of these ends up not being close. So that's where your mind goes at 17-3. And I know, CC, that's where your mind went of, oh, this is going to be over pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, after the first quarter when Michigan had a 175 rushing, I was like, yeah, there's no way that Washington can slow them down. And if you can't stop Don Edwards or Blake Corum, you got no shot at being able to beat Michigan. But the thing that caught me off guard was how Michigan's defensive front was able to apply pressure on Michael Penix Jr. Like, this offensive line won the best offensive line of the year award in college football, and yet they allowed Michael Penix to be under the rest the whole night. I don't know who number 73, the right tackle for Washington, is, but he owes his teammates an apology in that locker room because he was god-awful last night, especially in the second half. It felt like every other play, the refs were throwing a penalty on him for holding or false start or whatever.
I don't think he knew the snap count. I'm not kidding. No. He stopped, or he didn't start, and everybody else was going.
I was
the
like,
opposite of the
You
Chiefs
do realize
right
you're in a national championship game, and you're down.
Very odd.
Your quarterback needs you to get off the ball and actually block somebody rather than trying to hold everyone. But here's the thing. When that defense was able to pressure him as many times as they did, I think they had 18 pressures on 53 dropbacks from Michael Penix. When they were able to apply pressure and come from different angles, whether it was interior or off the edge, I just thought that that kept the rhythm of that passing game off balance enough to have Michael Penix second-guessing some of his reads. And you could see he was just a little bit off, fraction of a second, ball placement not quite right. You can attribute that to the rush from Michigan, and that was the perfect example of rush and coverage working together. Jesse Minter, defensive coordinator, did a phenomenal job of being able to call that game and keep that Washington offense off balance. Didn't allow a lot of explosive plays, and I thought when they starved that Washington offense from the explosive plays, that was the biggest difference in the game.
And at 17-3 in that second quarter, on a fourth down, Michigan goes for it, incomplete pass. Washington comes down and scores 17-10. All of a sudden, you're thinking, okay, maybe this is going to be a game. We start the second half. First play of the second half, Michael Penix Jr. throws an interception, and now Michigan builds on their lead. But if you think about it, really what happened here, the fourth downs throughout the game were an issue, right, in terms of non-conversions, decisions to go for it, not go for it. And then we had a late holding call in a one-score game on Washington on what was going to be a big play, 30-plus yards, but a holding call negated it, and that really ended the game right then and there. And Michigan just continued to pound the football and ended up winning 34-13. So the holding, the bad offensive line play, as you mentioned, the great running game for Michigan. J.J. McCarthy was
fine,
if that...
I mean, he was good
at being a big run.
Yeah, he was good at being able to manage the game. And on that third, like the first third down conversion of the game came in the second half, and that was a big scramble by him.
Yes.
I mean, and that was able to keep a drive alive and allowed them to eat up more clock. But it was all about the ground game. It was all about the offensive line. They finished with over 300 yards rushing, 231 yards before contact.
Wow.
That's the second most in the last 5 years in college football. Like, it was absolutely a masterclass with those guys up front, and their offensive coordinator, Sherrone Moore, he emphasized the importance of that group from the start of the season, how they were the ones that had to set the tone for what this team would be, and it was clear that they took that message to heart last night in that dominant performance. They did a great job of keeping Washington off balance in terms of different formations, pre-snap motion. I thought Washington's defense got caught up in looking at the window dressing, and they didn't realize that they were about to get punched in the mouth by that offensive line. And that's exactly how it started, and that's how it ended. When you win the physical battle in dominant fashion like Michigan did last night, of course the outcome of the game is going to be one-sided.
Yeah, you won the battle at the line, and you really didn't need J.J. McCarthy to do all that much when you had the ground game be so exceptional. Like you mentioned, Blake Corum was obviously outstanding. Donovan Edwards, he averaged 17.3 yards per carry. He finished with 103 yards and two touchdowns. He was absolutely ridiculous last night, and I love the way that Michigan won this game. As somebody from the Midwest, this just felt so Michigan. It just felt so Big Ten, a stifling defense.
It did feel Big Ten.
Didn't it?
It did.
A stifling defense, yes. Ground and pound, like a strong run game. This just felt like Big Ten football to me. And in a world where the landscape of college football is ever changing and you have teams coming from all over, and what we know to be the Big Ten and the SEC, et cetera, doesn't feel the way it always did. I love that this felt like Big Ten football.
Now, you know the crazy part is both of those teams will represent Big Ten football next year.
I know.
Like both styles will
like
be
Big Ten because it is Big Ten.
Both of those styles will be Big Ten next year. I mean, and that's the interesting part about it. And you wonder, can Michigan, the program, be able to sustain this level of success? And when you're asking that question, you have to also follow it up with another question: how long Jim Harbaugh is going to be there?
Well, I'm glad you asked, CeCe. Let's play some sound from the head coach, Jim Harbaugh, who wins a national championship last night, 40-3 in his last 3 years. Reminder, people in the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry somehow say winning that game in the regular season is better than winning last night, which I still don't understand for the life of me. But here is Jim Harbaugh on crossing the finish line with winning a national championship.
That was everything, you know. It was just, you know, that last phase line, that last one more game, you know, and we won it. And so such a one-track mind for our entire football team. I just love it. That was one of our goals, you know, win the next game. To have completed them all, you know, win the big games, win the Big Ten championship, you know, win the Rose Bowl, win the national championship. It just feels good. You just want to pull it down, you know. It's glorious. It's a glorious feeling.
He is an interesting character, that's for sure. Now, there's all the off-the-field stuff, right? There's the Connor Stallions, the Spygate stuff. Here's Harbaugh on those off-the-field issues and affecting the perception of the championship.
It couldn't have gone better. It went exactly how we wanted it to go, to win every game. The off-the-field issues, we're innocent. And we stood strong and tall because we knew we were innocent. And I just like to point that out. And these guys are innocent. Yeah. Overcome that. It wasn't that hard because we knew we were innocent.
There's Jim Harbaugh, who served 6-game suspension during the course of the season, 2 different 3-game suspensions. And there's an NCAA investigation going on currently.
Right.
So does this title have the asterisk? We have to ask. We knew we were going to ask it. This is months in the making.
I'm just laughing because nobody. And then Jim Harbaugh pops up and says, we're innocent.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? We're talking about you winning the national championship. Nobody asked the question. Like, we're innocent.
Yeah.
My guys, we're innocent. We feel vindicated. We were innocent the whole time. And we were unjustly persecuted and all of this. Jim, just enjoy the moment, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we're all celebrating you. The college football world is celebrating you. The confetti is coming down. What happens with the title down the road is going to be pending with the NCAA investigation. But guess what? Nobody can take this away from you. Nobody can unsee it. We all know who won the national championship for the 2023 season. It was Michigan. They proved that they were the best team. They beat the SEC champ. They beat an undefeated Pac-12 champ, which is joining the Big Ten. Like, they were clearly the best team in the college football playoff, and they earned that. Nobody can take that away from them. With 2 separate suspensions and going through all of the controversy, they actually proved it on the field. So in my mind's eye, it's not a tainted championship. This is the national champion, whether you like it or not.
I don't think it's tainted either, because they had success without Jim Harbaugh when he was serving that suspension. They beat Penn State. They beat Ohio State. They proved that they could do it without him. And then they proved that they could do it after he returned against the best talent in the entire country. So I don't think it's tainted. But I don't blame him for wanting to get his comments off last night, because I'm sure he felt a type of way about this all season long and could say it within the walls of the Michigan facility. But he couldn't really say a lot publicly because he was trying to galvanize his team and keep himself out of the headlines as much as possible. But it's really easy to say all those things when you have hardware in your hands and confetti on your shoes. And when you're that guy, by the way, like, I am not going to in any way overlook the fact that Jim Harbaugh went back to his alma mater and said, I'm going to restore my program to national prominence. And he did it. He delivered on that promise. He's LeBron. He's Coach O, who did it at LSU. Like, a lot of people want to do that for their city or for their school, and they cannot get the job done. And Jim Harbaugh did it, and he did it under a lot of really difficult circumstances, self-inflicted, but he got it done. And that is a remarkable feat.
3rd straight national champion where the head coach is an alum of the school. Kirby Smart times 2, mm-hmm. and now Jim Harbaugh obviously doing it here, or educated by the school, as I have now said.
It's wild to think that, 3 years ago, this was a 2-win team. In the COVID year, they were 2-4. And now you're talking about them winning their first outright national championship since 1948.
Javonte, that's what happened last night for your school. Just wanted to give you an update. Javonte Lawrence, who's a Michigan grad and from Michigan, fell asleep during the course of the game. But that becomes the question. Are they innocent? Is that title tainted? Does it have the asterisk? The three of us say no, although I will say it's going to be one day. For some, because there's going to be NCAA violations that they're going to come up with long after most of these guys have graduated from Michigan. You can be a part of Unsportsmanlike Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice cold Dr. Pepper, the ones fans deserve. Is the title tainted? Plus, what's next for Harbaugh? We'll find out next on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Evan Canty and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Michigan with jubilation. Washington just kind of hovering around its sideline on the near side in disbelief of what happened. Michigan has won the college football national championship to complete a perfect 15-0 season.
Just so proud of our team. 15-0. Took on all comers and the last one standing.
We killed it today. Offensive line, tight ends, receivers, defense. This is the team effort. That's why we won. That's why we've been winning all year.
Tainted or not, you got to be proud of 15-0, that's for sure. Great call as always. Sean McDonough joined us yesterday, called it last night here on ESPN Radio. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Congratulations to Michigan, national champs. We are on Sportsmanlike presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, let's hit the phones. Dr. Pepper calling line at 888-SAY-ESPN, and then we'll discuss what's next for Michigan, plus with Harbaugh. Plus, Michael Penix Jr. didn't necessarily help that draft status yesterday, that's for sure. Corey in St. Louis on 101 ESPN, the home of Michelle Smallman.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, gentlemen. Michelle, obviously you already know the Lou love you. But I have a question for Michelle only. When you came back home, what was your first St. Louis meal that you got for the holidays, obviously?
Well, Corey, I had to go home and have some toasted ravioli with my family, obviously.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Rice, okay, I got you. But the reason I called in, the championship, absolutely not tainted at all. I coach defense and football. When you get ran on like that, when your manhood is get grabbed like that and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it, that is not tainted at all. There's nothing on no film that shows, oh, they're going to run the ball. And we go, we know they're going to do it, but we can't stop it. Absolutely not tainted at all. Hats off to Jim Harbaugh. Go get your bag in the NFL. That's all I got to say. Oh, next thing. This is the best thing to happen to Washington. Going to the Big Ten, you better get out there two down front. They're going to run all over you. he better get out of there. I appreciate the call, guys. Thank you. Michelle, we love you.
We love
you.
Right, thanks, Corey. You're the best.
Oh, man. That was a problem, though. I mean, it didn't matter whether they had a light box or a loaded box. They still couldn't stop the run. I mean, in both scenarios, Michigan had over 100 yards rushing. So it wasn't necessarily an X's and O's thing. It was just a physicality thing. And I don't think Washington or anybody in the Pac-12 could have contended with the physicality that Michigan came to the party with last night. Mm-hmm.
Frank in L.A. on ESPN 710, L.A.'s mega sports station. What's up, Frankie?
How you guys doing? I love your show.
Thank
Michelle,
you.
Michelle, you're the best. Second of all, Happy New Year.
Yes!
All right, Frank.
And Michigan deserved it last night. They played with their hearts. They pounded the ball, and there was no stopping them.
Yeah, this felt like a Michigan win from the get-go. This game had like a beginning and an end. The middle kind of put you to sleep a little bit, if we're going to be honest.
Well, put Javonte to sleep.
Well, actually, yeah, literally put Javonte. Yeah, our producer, Javonte Lawrence, a Michigan fan and alum. But the beginning was awesome, just watching Michigan in that run game.
Yeah.
And the end with Michigan pulling away. But the middle of the game kind of was like, oh, come on, do a little bit more. Penix, make that throw that we saw against Texas, but it never actually happened last night. Anthony in Austin, Texas, watching on ESPN2. Here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I have a little bit different take on this from the other callers, you know. My feeling is you can put a turd on a plate and call it a ham sandwich, but after you eat it, your breath still smells like poop. What y'all are saying is that as long as you have a good team, oh, cheat all you want to. It's okay, because as long as you have a good team, if you win, we're going to wipe off all the cheating that you did all the way up until the championship.
Well,
am I wrong?
Well, none of us are saying that, to be fair.
Well, presumably, though, you weren't cheating when you beat Penn State on the road. You weren't cheating when you beat Maryland on the road. You weren't cheating when you beat Ohio State in the Big House. You weren't cheating when you beat Alabama, and you weren't cheating when you beat Washington. Now, Harbaugh had already served the suspension doled out by the Big Ten by that point.
Right.
So, I mean, those were the games that ultimately determined whether or not you would have the opportunity to win a national championship. And you checked every single box since then. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I have a hard time saying that it's a tainted championship when it's clear and obvious that they weren't cheating in the most consequential games that they played in all year long.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think all of us are on board with that. I also understand the person that would say, well, hey, they may not be in this position if they didn't have the cheating early on and so forth.
Who the hell was going to beat them early on?
I don't think anyone would. But
who
that's
was going to beat them?
But they have a right to say that. It doesn't mean it's necessarily right.
But it does have that Astros feel to it where we're watching them run through all these quality opponents and we're like, you're really good. Why did you need Connor Stallions to go out there and be scouting the opponent? Just the same thing with the Houston Astros. We're like, you're such a talented baseball team. Why did you need to steal signs and implement this elaborate scheme? I felt the same way about Michigan. They didn't need to do that. But I'm not going to hold it against them.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Smalls. I'm just sitting here looking at the schedule from the season. I mean, Harbaugh missed the first three games, self-imposed suspension. Okay, cool. They beat Rutgers 31-7. They beat Nebraska 45-7. They beat Minnesota 52-10. They beat Indiana 52-7. They beat Michigan State 49-0. They beat Purdue 41-13. Okay? Then Jim Harbaugh has a suspension, beat Penn State 24-15, beat Maryland 31-24, and then beat Ohio State 30-24. Who the hell was going to beat them?
Nobody.
Like, there ain't that much cheating in the world.
Well,
49-0?
The only
49
team.
To nothing, yeah. 52 to 10. Those are the scores we're talking about.
They're dominant.
The only team that I think could sit there and say, well, we could maybe have a shot at them, the only team is Georgia. But Georgia didn't earn the right to be in that game.
No.
Right? Georgia lost to Alabama. Michigan obviously beats Alabama, so they didn't earn the right to be there. Here's the thing about Michigan. They look different than our previous champions. They're not high-flying. They're not passing the ball as much. They're big, strong, nasty. They're your Ravens, right? It's. I mean, the connection is there with Harbaugh, right? They look like more of an NFL, NFC East back in the day kind of, we're going to throw when we need to. We're going to run it down your throat. We're going to play better defense, and we're cool playing in cold weather environments as they did, obviously, all year. Like, they don't feel like high-flying Alabama or Georgia teams where if you look at those rosters that won titles recently, every single one of them at the skill positions is a pro and dominating in the pros. They may have guys that make the pros here. People are saying they may have more drafted players than anyone ever, but it just feels different than previous national champs. And not better nor worse, just different.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that is imposing their will on Correct. Every single opponent all year long, and they do it with the physicality from it. And that's what you would expect for a more veteran-laden team. I mean, you're talking yeah. about an absolute dominant performance in the college football playoff and in the national title game. When you run the ball for over 300 yards, I mean, it's a situation where it's clear that there was one team that was head and shoulders above everybody else. And that's why when we have the conversation around the title being tainted, it's not tainted for me just because this is clearly the best team in all of college football.
I think it's going to be tainted for the NCAA the way that the Reggie Bush title at USC is.
But we know who won the title.
We
know who won
the title. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. We're going to laugh at what the NCAA is going to do to this Michigan team probably years from now. What is next for Harbaugh? We'll dive into that. But first, CeCe has this from Vivid Seats.
Oh, yes. Check off that New Year's bucket list with tickets from Vivid Seats. Your home for every tackle, every slap shot, and slam dunk. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every purchase. From tip-off to the final buzzer, Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the 2024 games that matter to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Evan Canty and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
I think the game that they won puts Harbaugh closer to leaving Michigan.
I believe that the NFL will help dictate or determine whether or not he goes.
He did what he set out to do. I think he'll feel like he can walk away and say, I did the job I came here to do.
Ev, who sings this song?
You're going to do this to me?
Who sings this song?
Oh, you want to really do
who
this?
Who sings this song? I can actually sing a little bit. I can hold a note.
A little bit. You
I can hold
sing.
A note.
Don't say it.
I don't know
do
the I don't know the words of this song.
It's Dirty
I do know
Diana.
The song. I know. I like when you played it for me in the break. I actually recognized the song.
Yes.
When you said it by name, I had no clue.
I love how CeCe just pawned this off on us.
So
yeah,
good.
Exactly.
All right,
yeah.
Now I got to tell the background of what just happened here.
Go ahead.
Okay, so we were talking about the whole coaching carousel. By the way, welcome back on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Does Harbaugh stay or go? We'll get to that in a second. We were talking about the coaching carousel in the NFL and how it feels like there's maybe some momentum that Belichick could be back in New England, but could it really impact whether or not he's back on what's going on in Tennessee, and if potentially Mike Vrabel stays or goes in Tennessee.
So the way you frame that scenario is the tail wagging the dog.
Okay.
Because I think in this situation, it's about Mike Vrabel's availability.
Correct.
And Robert Kraft being able to pry him from the Tennessee Titans, determining Bill Belichick's fate, not the other way around.
Right. So then what happened was, we referenced a report from Diana Rossini in The Athletic, okay, about this situation. And I said, I know multiple Dianas who don't like the song Dirty Diana.
And by Michael Jackson.
By Michael Jackson. And Small said, oh, such a good song. And CeCe, upon hearing the name of the song, said, I don't think I know that song. Then when we played it, you obviously knew it.
Yeah, I knew the song.
But somehow you just pawned that off on me not knowing the song.
No, I didn't say you didn't know the song. I was just hoping that you would let Michael Jackson sing it and stop singing yourself.
I think you should sing because you just said
I don't know the words of the song.
Is there a song?
Just like I don't know the words from the Michigan fight song.
Yeah.
Hail to the victors, that's all I know, so I can just keep going till it starts.
Bad boys.
I don't know the words to the song.
Is the Michigan fight song on that list of songs like Bad Boys where you sing like three words and then you stop?
Pretty much.
Bad boys.
Pretty much.
What you gonna
pretty
do?
Much. That's it.
Okay. We are on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN2 as well. So Jim Harbaugh was asked postgame about the idea of him going to the NFL and one day maybe winning a Super Bowl.
You just mentioned all those accomplishments and the big person's table. Would you want to add winning a Super Bowl to that?
I just want to enjoy this. And I hope you give me that, you know. Can a guy have that? Does it always have to be, you know, what's next? What's the future? You know, like I said the other day, yeah, I hope to have a future.
Well, the question has to be about the future when you retain Don Yee as your agent with NFL ties. And we know that you've interviewed for NFL head coaching jobs in consecutive years leading up to this. And you just did the ultimate accomplishment in college football. So, yes, of course, the question is going to then next be, what are you going to do after this?
No doubt. Smalls, do you think it's more likely or less likely now he's won a natty and him going to the NFL?
I think he should go to the NFL. I think that was always on the table for him, and we know that with him interviewing for jobs and, again, retaining an agent like Donny. But the comments leading up to that question was him talking about the fact that he can sit at the adult table in his family now because his brother John has won a Super Bowl with the Ravens and his father won a national championship. So now that he's gotten hardware, he said he could graduate. So he's talking about these accomplishments, and as he's talking about this, I'm thinking, you know, the only way for you to sit at the head of that table is to do both things.
Mm.
And I don't know. I'm one of these people that if I reach my goal, it's an amazing thing to ride out on top. And I know it's probably very intoxicating for him to look at the talent that he has at Michigan and think, I could run this back. Mm-hmm. We could continue this on. Maybe I could win multiple titles in college football. But with some really attractive NFL head coaching jobs, and after you just secure the national championship, think about the money you're going to command. You're already one of the hottest names in the NFL coaching pool, and you're basically at the top, and you can write your own check. You can write your own ticket. I just think it's time for him to go, and I think he might think so as well.
All right, this is year 144 with Michigan, I believe, in terms of their football team. They call each other by the team 144, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that with 144. I could be wrong, but they say 144. I will put $144 in that jar, the bad take jar, if he's back at Michigan.
Yes! Yes!
He is not coming back.
Better you than me.
I have said I have said all year long I thought he was coming back. I would CeCe and I have flipped stances on this. I think you thought he was going, as we heard in the clip there, and now you think he's staying. I thought he was staying. Now I think he's going. The jobs that are available are too connected to Harbaugh. They played for the Chargers, and they have Justin Herbert. Brady, if he's involved with the Raiders, where a team that Harbaugh played, right, or coached, excuse me, with the Raiders, like, there's just too many connections here. He's out. He's out. He's done. Last night was his last game. There is no way he's coming back to Michigan. He has a guy to hand it off to in Sharon Moore. I don't know that they're going to do that, but that he has a guy to hand it off to. He's done everything he could do, 40-3, beat Ohio State, beat Alabama, won a national championship, 40-3 in his last 3 years. He's done. He's going to the NFL, guys.
But why would you want to go to any of those places in the NFL? None of those places have good ownership. Who has good ownership? The Carolina Panthers don't. The Chargers don't. The Bears don't.
Feels like Washington does now.
The Raiders certainly don't. Washington, yes. I guess you could say that. But I guess my whole point was with Jim Harbaugh, the fact that he won a national title makes it easier for the program and the athletic department in the school to justify making him the highest paid coach in college football.
Sure.
And that's why, to me, it's likely that he stays at Michigan than go to the NFL, because thinking about how his stint with the San Francisco 49ers ended, it was about a power struggle between him and Trent Baalke, their then general manager, and he lost out. If he goes to the NFL, he is going to be beholden to either a GM and or the owner. And at that point, you're at the mercy of somebody that could potentially be impetuous. If you stay at Michigan, who are you answering to? Nobody is the answer to that question. Nobody. Not Ward Manuel, not the school president. Hell, he's probably got more juice than Gretchen Whitmer, the damn governor of the state of Michigan. Like, now that he's won a national title, he's the most powerful figure in the state. And he's probably going to be the highest paid figure in the state when it comes to the realm of college sports. And I think that's what the Don Yee hiring was all about. That's what all of the interviews with pro teams has been about, being able to leverage more money out of the University of Michigan and get paid his actual worth to the program. Because, quite frankly, this three-year stretch that he's been able to put together is better than any three-year stretch that we've seen from any coach in school history.
His value as an NFL coaching prospect can actually only go down. If he doesn't take an NFL job now, he could actually hurt his value next year. Because what happens is they're going to have lesser talent. There's all these guys that are going to go to the pros. Their record may not be as good. He is at his peak value in terms of financial compensation in the NFL.
And in college football, too.
And in college football. But if it doesn't work out in the NFL, he could always go back to Michigan.
Yes.
Any given, they will fire whatever coach they have to bring Harbaugh back.
He could go anywhere in college football after that.
I don't think he's going to coach anywhere but Michigan in college. But
I'm saying he could if he wanted to.
Correct.
If he went to the NFL and wanted to go back to college football, he could again write his ticket. But I also think from a legacy standpoint, you have reached your peak. I mean, what a better time to leave than now. You restored your alma mater to glory. You did it in the face of adversity when everyone was against you. You have the record right now against Ohio State. Coming back only opens the door for Ohio State to beat you, for maybe you not to be able to repeat, for there to be questions about you, maybe more sanctions coming down. If you choose the door to coming back, that could be a murky existence.
But I guess my whole question is, he didn't win the Super Bowl, but he coached a team to a Super Bowl. The 49ers went to three straight conference championship games during his tenure. I guess my whole point is, He doesn't have to prove he's a good NFL coach. He's already proven that.
But this is a hyper-competitive person that probably feels like he didn't reach his goals and wants to go back and have another shot at that. That's the way I view it.
And he's so good at coaching football that he has a right to walk in and say, like, I'm ready to win a Super Bowl. Like, I don't know that all these other coaches
But here's my point, though. No matter what the contract states, no matter how much money the owner gives him, it's the owner's team. The owner has full control of the team.
Yeah.
You are at the mercy of what the owner wants to do.
You don't think with the Raiders he would have more power?
No, he's at the mercy of what the owner wants to do. We've seen that time and time again with the Raiders. I guess my whole point is this. At Michigan, he's not answering to anybody. There's nobody he has to answer to. So if the money's close, and there's no reason to think that it wouldn't be after he's won a national title at the school, then why would he leave to go to the NFL? It just doesn't make sense to me, especially when you consider the vacancies that we're talking about. I mean, outside of the Washington Commanders, I don't trust any of the other owners that are going to be involved in the hiring process during this cycle.
I would be absolutely stunned. Stunned.
I want my $144 in here, too.
Yeah, I will.
When he announces that he's coming back.
I will be stunned if he goes back to Michigan.
250s, 20s, like, is there a real preference?
I don't give a damn if he gives it to me in nickels. I want it in the bad take, Joe.
I will put in 144 for team 144. Actually, I should put in 145 because then he'll be the coach of team 145, right? So I will put in the 145 if he's back. There is no way he's coming back because things can only get worse. You were 15-0. There are no sanctions. There are going to be sanctions. You could lose to Ohio State. You're going to lose players. You are at your peak in terms of NFL value right now. I would be stunned if he came back to Michigan after winning a championship last night. Coming up, are two coaches in the NFL who are coaching this weekend in the playoffs actually coaching for their jobs? We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Evan Canty and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
And the benches are going to empty, and it's all over but the shouting. As things stand, they would play the Green Bay Packers, who beat the Bears.
The drama of it, I'm sure you guys will love them. It's playoff time. It doesn't matter who we play. Most importantly, we've got to take it one game at a time.
Oh, Mike McCarthy, it does matter who you play, because you and your Cowboys against the Packers, certainly juicy. We are unsportsmanlike. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. All right. McCarthy, Sirianni, NFC East coaches in the playoffs. McCarthy's won a Super Bowl. Sirianni was just in the Super Bowl. I want to keep this overall. How many coaches do we think in the playoffs are coaching to keep their jobs. In the playoffs, right? So we're not talking about what's going to happen with Belichick. I mean, we will. We're not talking about currently what's happening with Vrabel or Dennis Allen, who met with the media yesterday and said, you know, hey, I think I'm here. And we hear rumors about Gruden on that staff, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. That's John, not Jay. We hear yesterday Pete Carroll saying, I'm coming back, right? Mm-hmm. Told Seattle Sports he's coming back. How many coaches in the postseason do we think are coaching for their jobs?
I would say two and a possible, kind of like we play in spades. I think it's clear that it's Sirianni and Mike McCarthy. The other one that I would put a caveat by is Sean McDermott. Depending on what it looks like on wild card weekend against the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're at home against a team that's on their backup quarterback in Mason Rudolph. If you don't find a way to win that game, then I could see ownership justifying moving on and transitioning to someone else, especially with the way that Josh Allen has looked. Like, I get everybody looks at the numbers and says that the game in Miami was great by Josh. I thought he was good. I didn't think he was great. And some of the mistakes that we saw, especially the interceptions in the end zone, those are things that can't happen in a potential elimination scenario or a situation where you're talking about that game deciding who's going to win the division. So the regression from Josh Allen this year coupled with an early postseason exit, and maybe, just maybe, you could see somebody making the case for Sean McDermott being fired. I'm not saying that he will, but I'm just saying that there are people that are paying close attention to what's going on in Buffalo.
Yeah, those are the three names that I've arrived at as well, even though I don't think that Mike McCarthy should be in that group. I think he likely is. If the Green Bay Packers upset the Dallas Cowboys and they have an early exit, despite the great season we've seen from the Cowboys, despite the progress that we've seen from Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy's hand in that process and the synergy that the two have together, we've talked about it so much this season, you guys. The expectations for the Dallas Cowboys are not about the regular season. It's about the playoffs. And I could see, if they fall short yet again, that seat getting hotter for Mike McCarthy.
I totally agree with you.
I don't think it should, but I think it will.
Why shouldn't it, though? That's the part that I'm confused about. I mean, you have a top five offense, top five defense, your quarterback played at a near MVP level, and your team is only going to get more expensive from here. Why, if he doesn't get it done this year, when is it ever going to happen? Like, similar to the conversations that people were having around Jim Harbaugh coming into this year, this was the best team that Jim Harbaugh has had at Michigan. If he wasn't going to win a natty now, when was it ever going to happen? Right. I feel similarly about Mike McCarthy with the Dallas Cowboys. This is their third consecutive 12-win season. If it doesn't happen now, if they don't go on a deep playoff run and get to the championship rounds, why would you want to keep him? Why would you want to stay the course with him?
Well, I would, because I don't know that I have another coach that can do what he's done. And I don't know that I have another coach that could put me in position to potentially win a Super Bowl, get to a Super Bowl. Also, Dak Prescott had an MVP caliber season. I think we're all agreeing on that. But he obviously is not more so than Lamar Jackson, or maybe even more so than Brock Purdy, depending on where you want to vote on this. But the reality is, I have to give some credit to Mike McCarthy for helping in the development. I also have to give a lot of credit to Dak Prescott in helping Mike McCarthy rack up wins, right? It works both ways on that. They're a partnership there. And we've seen nothing that would indicate that they're not a partnership. I would hope Dak Prescott would walk into Jerry Jones and say, you want me, he stays, because we are a good partnership and we can only get better together. I would hope, based on what we've
seen. Man, stop. Listen, if Jerry Jones gives Dak Prescott $60 million a year, you think he gives a damn? Yeah. Come on now.
He's trying to secure the
bag. That ain't how that works, bro.
Who, if Belichick's not available to the Cowboys, who are you finding that's better than Mike McCarthy?
That's the question, and that's why I don't think he should be on the hot seat, because I don't know if you're going to upgrade from him.
Dan Quinn, I'm sorry, their defensive coordinator, is not an upgrade. Dan Quinn, yes, I understand he's been to a Super Bowl, and he's getting a look in Carolina along with about 43 other people. They released their list of head coaching candidates. Boy, that is lengthy. But, I mean, I guess
would you consider Bill Belichick an upgrade over Mike McCarthy?
I consider Bill Belichick an upgrade over Vince Lombardi.
Okay, I didn't take it that far.
What I'm saying to you is, of course Bill Belichick is.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick is the greatest coach to ever coach football. He's an upgrade over any single coach. That's obvious. If you're not going to have an opportunity to get Bill Belichick, who are you getting for the Dallas Cowboys that would be an upgrade over what Mike McCarthy has been?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. You don't know who it's going to be, but I guess having that relative unknown, it may be better than staying the course with a coach that hasn't shown that he can get the program to progress beyond the divisional round. And at some point, you have to say, he's proven that he can't do it. Like, we're talking about him going into 5 years now running with the Dallas Cowboys being their head coach. At some point, he's going to have to get over that hump. And if it doesn't happen, you're questioning whether or not you got the right guy. We're giving him a lot of credit for a championship that he won a decade and a half ago. Like, it's 2010 was a long time ago in terms of NFL coaches' success. So I'm just wondering, at what point do we say, hey, it's not happening, and as a matter of fact, our playoff exit is earlier than it was a year ago against a team that has a quarterback in his first year as the full-time starter.
See, I think of the coaches coaching this weekend that theoretically could be on the hot seat if they have a bad loss in the playoffs. Sean McDermott is the one that I think is the most fair to say maybe it's time. Not because he's bad, but because he's been good enough where you should be better right now. And I know that's your same reasoning with McCarthy, but I'm using it more so with McDermott because he's been there for longer. Four straight AFC East titles. They have dominated in the AFC East in the post-Brady era, obviously. They've taken advantage of that, but they haven't gotten over the hump. And if they lose to this Steelers team with Mason Rudolph, I think, to me, there's more justification to fire McDermott. Now, he should be hired by somebody else immediately than there would be with McCarthy losing to the Packers or even Sirianni losing to the Bucks. I think he's the one more than any of the other coaches this weekend because it would be time.
Again, I think context matters. What it looks like matters, right? If the loss with Buffalo is a one-sided affair in Pittsburgh's favor, and Pittsburgh's on the road with Mason Rudolph, then yeah, you don't have any good feels around what Sean McDermott is doing, especially what happened with him firing Ken Dorsey in the middle of the year. With the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, again, you're at home. You're the two seed in the NFC. You've got a chance to host multiple playoff games if you get past wild card weekend. If you fall short in terms of not being able to get any playoff wins or not being able to get to the NFC championship game, I wonder if Jerry would consider making a change.
Is the NFC championship game, though, enough? You think if they break through to that round, then he's safe?
Yes, yeah, because that's progress.
Because they've been trying to get there for so long.
You're one of four. They haven't been to the NFC championship game in 27 years.
Right.
So, I mean, if we get to that point, then at least I can say, you know what, we're close.
We're closer to winning.
I can justify paying Dak Prescott, $60 million or thereabouts. I can justify paying Michael Parsons $35 million. CeeDee Lamb said he wants to be the highest paid receiver in all of football. That means he's going to be north of $30 million. That's a lot of money that you got to pay. You just paid Trevon Diggs. You just paid Terrence Steele. Zach Martin's going to want more money. This is a very expensive team to be putting that much into your roster and not have the success to show for it, ergo getting to the championship rounds, at some point as the owner, I'm going to say, well, we got the players. The players ain't the problem. I got to look at the head coach. He ain't going to fire the general manager because he's the general manager.
There's one other team, not in terms of the coaching on the hot seat, but just status of organization that I think about. If Miami loses to Kansas City this weekend, going into next year.
You mean when Miami loses to Kansas City?
Sure.
It's going to be 0 degrees at kickoff.
So when?
0 degrees. Good luck with that.
If or when, however you want to look at it. Nobody's going to question Mike McDaniel, but there's going to be a lot of questions for Tua. And Mike McDaniel's going to defend Tua, which will lead to questioning of Mike McDaniel. So it'll come back to him because he is going to have Tua's back no matter what. I think that's the only other team that I would look at this weekend and say if they have a bad loss, the what's going to happen next? Not to fire the coach, don't get me wrong. But I think, like, any of the other teams that lose this weekend, I think we'll be like, all right, yeah, it makes sense. Dolphins are I guess Kansas City, I should say that. But when it's not like we're going to get rid of the coach, the quarterback.
No.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. Michigan, champions. We will get to that. And was that Jim Harbaugh's last game? We'll find out next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.